following is an encore presentation of Distorted View Daily.
Experience the magic of reruns.
I feel it in my fucking cunt.
Feel it in your cunt.
Nibbling is an art, like screwing or caressing. In the dictionary, it means to eat with quick, small bites, as a mouse does, or to bite with small, gentle bites. Naturally, we had to call this film The Nibblers. You'll drool over it. They nibble, they dibble, they devour, they swallow. They positively gorge themselves. Never, but never has the fine art of dining been so deliciously, deliriously, devastatingly described. Orally, anally, and visually tasty. Oh, The Nibblers is a film guaranteed to leave you in a state of throbbing satisfaction. Come and see it. Or rather, come after you've seen it. The Nibblers. A terrifically tasty motion picture. Good right down to the last delicious drop.
It's Friday, April 2nd, 2010. Coming up on the program today, going on a crack run with Daddy, plus more sleep raping and pussy tumors with tea. All of this.
You are listening to Distorted View.
That's right, racist candidate for the U.S. Senate, Glenn Miller. This is Distorted View Daily.
It's the Distorted View Show with Tim Henson.
Tim Henson with you. This is the Distorted View Show, ending the week with the Friday podcast. And I've got a great one for you. You know, if you follow me on Twitter or Facebook, you probably know how the show's going to start today. I got the opportunity last night to talk to a true patriot. He is dedicating his life to serving our country, and he's currently running for U.S. Senate as a write-in candidate. I, of course, am talking about the great Glenn Miller. Okay, that's a different Glenn Miller. Although this one is also in the mood to get you filthy little Jews. Dirty Jews! You filthy Jews! Dirty Jews! All right, enough. Stop this. This is a serious interview.
Meanwhile, the Jewish-controlled media, especially television, glorifies white sluts who wallow with dark mongrels and produce more of them. Mm-hmm. The white race will die out unless we free ourselves from the Jews.
Right. There's Glenn Miller in one of his radio spots. Now, just to preface what's going on here and how I conduct myself in this interview, one thing I really hate is when news personalities, hosts or whatever, get someone controversial on their show, and they use it as an opportunity to stage themselves as the hero, as the good guy, calling their guest, you know, fucking monsters and shit. And all that really accomplishes is it puts the guest on the defensive and nothing gets said. What I find interesting and funny is when you let those people speak, you know, try to make them feel comfortable so they open up and say even more insane things. A good example of what I'm talking about is, do you remember when I played the clip from Fox News of the news host interviewing the woman from the Westboro Baptist Church, and he just started attacking her, calling her a horrible person. And don't get me wrong, the bitch is a nasty, discharge-dripping cunt face. However, do we really need the fucking host of Fox News to fight that battle? No one is on this woman's side. And the morons watching the show are like, oh my god, this host is great. He really stands up for what he believes in. He's even not afraid to fight with his guests. Oh yeah, what a powerful stance the host is taking. You mean to tell me he's not in favor of people picketing the funerals of U.S. Army soldiers holding signs saying they're going to hell and that God hates America? Wow. So I decided to take a different approach with my interview, and that was to end up sounding more extreme than Glenn Miller himself. So I'm just going to play some clips from the interview here. I'm not going to play the whole thing. On the sideshow, there will be an extended version later today, so be on the lookout for that. I'm going to go ahead and start playing the interview for you. I'm going to break in a few times just to comment on some stuff. So here we go. My interview with Glenn Miller. Yeah, I was hoping that we could talk to you for a little bit about your campaign and see how things are going.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. Excellent.
Well, I'm a politician now.
This is serious business.
I never miss an opportunity to run my mouth.
Yeah, exactly. So let me first start off by saying that I heard about your campaign, your 2010 campaign, but you also ran back in, 2006?
Yeah, been a lot of changes since then. We didn't have a depression at that time.
And we didn't have a colored president. All right. I have to stop right there. This was my attempt. I thought, all right, look, if I can establish the fact that we are both like-minded, he would be more willing to discuss some of his more radical theories. Now, I want you to listen to Glenn Miller's response. He is tickled. And we didn't have a colored president.
Excellent point. Excellent
right? Point. So now we're BFFs. Imagine for a second, put yourself in Glenn Miller's shoes. I know it's tough. But he probably gets 18,000 phone calls a day from people just like me. Not just like me, but, radio personalities or whatever. And just wanting to pick fights with him. And now he's got a forum, an outlet, where he's not going to be yelled at or screamed at.
Excellent point. Excellent
right?
Point.
So do you think maybe because
but
of
hey,
this...
But hey, I'm just as happy with... as a matter of fact, I'm more happy to have Obama in the White House than McCain or any of the neocons.
Why is that?
Because they're warmongers for Israel. They're totally owned by the Jews.
So
that's why they promote and incite Jew wars in the Middle East that cost America taxpayers trillions of dollars.
On the list, on the great list of people or groups of people you dislike, Jews would be at the top of that list because of what you just mentioned, followed by...
Compared to the Jewish problem, all other problems are mere distractions.
Gotcha. Like illegal aliens from down south.
Well, there wouldn't be any illegal aliens in this country.
For the Jews?
It's not for the Jews.
Wow, the Jews. I had no idea the Jews...
Did you know that prior to 1965, the United States immigration laws required that 90% of the immigrants coming to the United States be white?
I did not know that. Let me cut in here again. Now, what I find interesting is, especially when people who are pro-white speak, they always talk about the problem of the Jews, of the dirty Jews, or the blacks. But they don't really offer up any solutions, and that's what I was getting at with this next question.
Well, how do you like being ruled by 2% of the population who happen to hate your guts?
I always say on my program, every chance I get on my program, I say, I'm going to get you, you dirty Jews. And now I think with you on my side, I can really get them. The question is, what do we do with them? I've got Glenn Miller on my side.
We free ourselves from them.
How?
We free the people from Jewish bondage. It's as simple as that.
All right, but how? How do you free?
Well, the first step, of course, is to expose them to awaken the white masses, the Gentile masses, all races, not just white people. You know, blacks, all Gentiles are owned by or controlled by Jews. Because the Jews control the government. They call the shots.
So you're advocating the three E's for Jews. One, expose. Two, export the Jews out of the country. And three, if all else fails, exterminate.
Exterminate?
What?
I didn't say that. Whatever gave you that idea?
First of all, I think he said that with a wing like, exterminate? I didn't say that. What? But it really does sound like I'm the monster here.
Exterminate?
What?
Well, I didn't say that. Whatever gave you that idea?
Well, I'm just saying, like, that to me, that would make sense. Like, first we want to expose them. Then we will try to get them to leave our country, and if they're not willing to... Now, somehow the tables have been turned. Things have been flipped around. Things are topsy-turvy, and I'm trying to convince Glenn Miller of my radical beliefs. Then we will try to get them to leave our country, and if they're not willing to...
I want them to stop exterminating white people. The white race is the only race that's going down in number.
Glenn, come on.
We're dying out.
Come on, Glenn. Let's be honest.
What do you mean, come on? What the hell you mean, come on?
I'm saying...
Do you deny simple population statistics?
No, I'm agreeing with you. I'm saying we need maybe a more extreme, there's another E, measure. We can't just expose them. We need to take care of the problem.
Well, first steps first.
Okay, I got you. I got you. I think Glenn Miller knows what I'm saying, and I think he agrees with me. I'm not... I mean, that's not what he said or anything, but... you know, first things first. We'll take it one step at a time. I got
you. The white race is so incredibly powerless.
We're pretty ass backwards
totally.
Look at me chiming in. Yeah, we're pretty ass backwards.
Without representation, we're not allowed to have organizations that will...
Fuck this Senate run. He should run for president, and I could be his vice president.
Work for our interests, for example.
Get shit done.
Jews, blacks, and Hispanics have thousands.
All right, right.
Literally thousands, many of which are financed by white tax dollars.
Okay, you get the idea. Again, I'm sort of jumping around in the interview here. I'm going to post an extended version on the sideshow, of course. But here's a little more about his campaign. So let me ask you this. When, you know, if things go your way during this run for Congress...
Oh, I'm perfectly confident. Matter of fact, my wife and daughter have been out shopping for gowns the rest of the presidential ball.
Yeah, did you... I was sort of talking over him, calling him a delusional old man. That was actually part of the interview. Like, he probably heard that. However... what he was saying there was, he's so convinced that he's going to win, his wife and daughter have been shopping for gowns for when they attend the presidential ball.
As a matter of fact, my wife and daughter have been out shopping for gowns the rest of the presidential ball.
There you go. That's just a little bit from my interview with Glenn Miller. If you'd like to learn more about this wonderful man and the great things he's doing for the white race, check out whitey.org. That's W-H-T-Y.org. I'll put a link on the show notes today. And, of course, there's going to be more of my Glenn Miller interview for Sideshow Freaks. I'll be posting that a bit later. Moving on, there's one more clip I wanted to share with you before we get into the news. This was sent in by listener Jason, so thanks, Jason, for this. It's another violent... angry porno clip where the guy verbally abuses, I guess physically abuses too, if you want to get down to it. Yes, he physically and verbally and sexually, I guess, abuses a whore. Take a listen.
Yeah.
She's sucking some cock.
Yeah.
Now?
Yeah. Go ahead and shoot your little cock. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She fucked a little teeny. Yeah. You're getting too fat. You're getting too fucking fat. You slut. Here, let me help you.
This guy is a monster, but I have to tell you, he's no prize, but neither is she.
Yeah, go ahead. Cunt. That's... Yeah.
Ugly people porn.
That's good. Huh? Yeah.
I don't want to spoil anything for you guys because we haven't gotten to this part in the film yet, but in a few minutes, he does something to this girl that I've never seen done in a porn, and that is he applies lipstick to her asshole before fucking her. This is a curious piece.
Retard.
Again, you don't hear guys calling the chick they're nailing retards very often, unless, of course, they are retarded. And I have played that type of porn on the show as well.
Retard. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Stupid little retard. I'm gonna piss in your face again.
Again.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. Go ahead and cry, you little cunt. Go ahead and cry, stupid little fuckhole. Just a stupid little ass cunt.
I'm going to fast forward to my favorite part of the movie. I told you a little bit about what's going to happen here.
Give me your lipstick, you little cunt.
setting up the scene. Get the props.
Where'd you get this?
My mommy.
Did you save lunch money?
No, I stole it from my mommy.
Oh, you naughty little girl. You know, if you want to be really sexy, you can put it right in your little poop hole, too. And that lets guys...
This guy knows nothing about makeup. You don't do that.
And that lets guys know exactly what you want.
Yeah, it's kind of like a little drawing a bullseye.
And that lets guys know exactly what you want.
Enter here.
Huh? Yeah. Yeah.
That's
good. Yeah. Poop hole, fucker.
Poop hole.
Yeah, that way you won't get pregnant, you dumb cunt. You don't want to get
pregnant.
Wait a
second. Putting lipstick on your asshole does not prevent pregnancy. Oh, maybe just the act of ass fucking. Okay.
Yeah, that way you won't get pregnant, you dumb cunt. You don't want to get pregnant, do you?
No.
No, because if you get pregnant, then you got a little fuckhole running around. Then none of the guys are going to like you.
Yes.
So you take the cock right up your little... Like that. There you go.
Sounds like she likes
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
There you go. Some more classy erotica featured on DV. And with that, let's get into the crazy, bizarre, twisted, fucked up news right now. Yes, in addition to more Glenn Miller, this weekend I'm going to be doing a bonus episode of DV. Corey will be back with Butt Fudge Sunday. Have another video cast I want to get out to you guys, so it's a great time to sign up. Every week we have bonus content popping up on the Sideshow feed. And, of course, you get full access to the entire archive of programs. All for just $5 a month, very inexpensive. You can pay for a yearly membership and get 2 months free, so that's $50 a year. Sign up right now, superfreaksideshow.com. It is DV's member site. Support the program. It's Friday. It's payday. Very cheap. You get a lot for a little bit of scratch there. All right, three quick stories, and then we'll get the hell out of here. First up, this one comes from Cincinnati, and it is kind of disgusting. Doctors at University Hospital were able to diagnose a so-called monster tumor that was responsible for causing the hallucinations that had Kiera Eccles demanding a priest to perform an exorcism and chase the devil out of her. Cuckoo. And the best part is the tumor was in her lady bits. In early November, Eccles, 22, went to the doctor twice thinking she had the flu. The pussy flu. She was feverish and achy with a bad headache and a sore cunt. Actually, it was her ovaries. A week or two after she started feeling bad, she passed out. Her parents, David and Shelley Givens, took her to the hospital where doctors diagnosed her with meningitis. She spent 6 days in the hospital, but the same day she went home, she began hallucinating. She complained to her parents that the children in the corner of her bedroom were fighting and being too noisy. All right, honey. Call the psych ward. Our baby's gone insane. She went around the living room and introduced us all to her baby, Shelley Givens said. Back to the hospital they went about 6 hours after they left. Doctors there told her parents that Eccles needed to be admitted to a psychiatric unit, but the Givenses didn't believe it. There was no family history of schizophrenia or bipolar disorder, which both can cause hallucinations, and she'd no signs of mental illness previously. Eccles was transferred, so naturally, it's got to be the devil possessing her. Eccles was transferred to the emergency department at University Hospital, where, as it turns out, she was in the right place at the right time. For a chick with ovarian tumors. Quote, she was screaming at me to call a priest because she needed an exorcism. She also said, lick me! Lick me! Your mother sucks cocks in hell! Shelley Givens said she was lunging at people. She was just completely psychotic. And I don't want to tell you where she stuck the crucifix. Within a half an hour, doctors told her parents that they suspected Eccles had an unusual form of encephalitis that was causing her hallucinations. And they'd already seen two cases of it that year. It very much looked like the beginning of a schizophrenic or bipolar episode, but the real culprit wasn't in her head. It was a tiny tumor on her left ovary. The tumor was teratoma or something. A freakish but not uncommon conglomeration of basic cells growing out of control. I want to hear more about how crazy she was acting. Her cunt made her lose control. Pussy control. Oh, And yes, I know there's a difference between pussies and ovaries. Ovaries are internal lady testicles. Right? That's how I was explained it. All right, doctors gave Eccles steroids to bring down the swelling in her brain and performed surgery to remove the tumor. The tumor was so small, less than a centimeter, that it wasn't visible on CT scans. But they knew it had to be there. He was able to use robotic surgical techniques. Oh, they used a robot to find and remove the tumor.
Beep, boop, beep, boop. You like the way my cold metallic arm feels inside of you? Let me just move around, and I'll pull out, and pull back in. Who says we can't have a little fun during this procedure?
I love that, even in 2010, medical robotics sound like, you know, they're from a fucking 1950s sci-fi television show. Beep, boop, beep, boop. All right, are we done with this story? I find it boring now. I only enjoyed it when we were talking about how fucking batshit crazy she was acting. All right, so the tumor was called the teratoma. Some teratomas, if they're big enough, can even contain eyeballs or tiny feet. What? Let me just change my opinion about this story. It's back to being interesting. Eccles was released on December 23rd. She's waiting to find out when she'll be cleared to return to driving and to go back to work. She's working to raise awareness of what made her so ill. She doesn't remember much about the whole thing other than wishing her husband, Mike, had been with her. Michael, who is in the U.S. Air Force, is stationed at Wright-Patterson and was in Texas for training at the time. So there you go. Mike, you dodged a bullet there. You didn't have to deal with that nightmare. All right, second story we have for you today. We've got another case of sexsomnia to talk about. This new story was sent in by Angry Cynic, so thank you very much, Angry. A father who sleep raped his 4-year Yes, a father who sleep raped his 4-year-old daughter has been let off after courts accepted his excuse that he was just sleepwalking. Well, it was more than walking. The father, a 30-year-old resident of Belgium, returned home after drinking with friends, going to sleep in the same room as his 4-year-old daughter. He was alleged to have raped the girl after she woke him up to go to the toilet. Well, that would make me angry, too. And keep in mind, I'm not laughing at the fact that this 4-year-old was... I'm still laughing, but I'm not laughing at what you think I'm laughing at. I'm laughing because it's such a ridiculous... Okay, I'm laughing at the 4-year-old getting raped. I'm sorry. It's just funny. Come on. No, I'm laughing at the idea of sleep raping. Really? Like, sleepwalking to me. Now, keep in mind, I don't think I've ever sleptwalked. How do you sleepwalked? I don't know how you say that. But I've never experienced either seeing someone do it or doing it myself. But I'm guessing it's not a very brisk walk, you know, like walking with a purpose. It's just sort of like stumbling around, I guess, because you're asleep, right? I think it's like kind of like a little shuffle, maybe. But when you rape, there's a lot going on there. You gotta pull your cock out, get it in the hole, thrust, the whole nine, right? Wouldn't you wake yourself up with all that commotion? It's quite a big production. I don't know, I'm sorry. I mean, I realize it's a great defense, sexsomnia, but I don't think I believe that sleep raping really exists. A rape is a rape. You know what, if you sleep rape, it's still rape. You should be convicted of something. You shouldn't be able to get off. This guy is not going to jail. Nothing is going to happen to him. And he fucked a 4-year-old. Regardless of the circumstances, you should be punished. All right. He was alleged to have raped the girl after she woke him up to go to the toilet. The man admits to raping his daughter, but says he was sleeping. This is a sexual version of sleepwalking. I was deeply ashamed when I found out what was happening. He claimed he only awoke when his daughter began screaming, "Papa, it's me! It's me!" Poor girl. Now, here's the thing. Okay, if you are diagnosed with sexsomnia, why would you ever sleep in the same bedroom as another person? You know what I mean? Like, that's tempting fate right there. His defense claims he suffered from a rare condition called sexsomnia, in which a person engages in sexual behavior whilst sleeping. The defense argued for absolving him of all responsibility for the incident. Quote, my client has had sleep problems for a long time. When he was living with the girl's mother, he often had sex with her in his sleep. See what I mean? He knew about this problem. He could not remember what happened with his daughter the next day. He is deeply sorry, but he could do nothing about it. He was powerless. Police agreed. Ah, sounds pretty reasonable to me. What the fuck is going on in Belgium? I just love the little girl's plea. Papa, it's me. Why did you rape me, Daddy? Could be a follow-up to a little Marquise hit song. All right, the girl's mother is aghast at the fact that the court opted to give him the benefit of the doubt and ruled he could not be charged. Quote, this verdict gives a green light to all rapists and pedophiles to escape the law. Exactly. The ruling was widely condemned as the summit of perversity. Well, that should be Distorted View's tagline, the summit of perversity, with the Belgian public being especially sensitive to pedophilia scandals after a huge child sex slave scandal in recent years. Yeah, really, if you love children a little too much, check out beautiful Belgium. Ting! This news story paid for by the Belgium Tourism Board. Belgium, where little honeys meet their sweet daddies.
Sweet daddy. And I'll be your little honey. And you could do it. Whatever you want, because I'm so hot.
Yeah, sweet daddy. All right, final story we have for you today. This one comes from Colorado. Seven people were arrested in Colorado Springs as part of an undercover drug sting, including a man who brought his 14-month-old daughter to a cocaine drop. I think we should take a short trip in the Distorted View time machine and hear how this 14-month-old baby sounds 30 years into the future.
I stuck a little dick.
Yeah, the father really fucked her up. All right, four men were arrested at about 11 a.m. on Wednesday in a fast food parking lot as they delivered an ounce of cocaine to an undercover detective. Jacob Palladino, Joshua Morgan, Jeremy Madrid, and David Arthur arrived in two separate vehicles to the drop-off spot. When arrested, Arthur had marijuana in a pipe in his lap and his 14-month-old daughter with him, also in his lap. Madrid, a passenger in the car Arthur was driving, was carrying a loaded .25-caliber handgun. Palladino and Morgan face distribution of cocaine charges. Arthur faces child abuse and distribution of cocaine. And Madrid faces charges of child abuse and unlawfully carrying a concealed weapon. There you go. That, my friends, is your distorted news for Friday. Let's do a couple voicemails and get the hell out of here. All right, freaks, speak to me, please.
Hey, you freaky deekies. Have yourselves a happy Easter. But most importantly, enjoy yourselves a spiral ham.
Yes, all of his voicemails are now spiral ham related. Have you noticed that? How long could he possibly keep this up for? See, now that I just issued that challenge, I'll be hearing from Spiral Hamfucker even more. Why do I even speak?
Anthony Boo, it's David from TLA Raw. Long time no speak.
Holy shit, David from TLA Raw, whatever happened to you? I thought you hated me. Thought I might have said something to offend you, like I did with Scott Fletcher and countless other previous friends of the program.
No speak. Actually, I'm not employed with them anymore.
Oh, no.
So all of your listeners should go to adamandeve.com and use the coupon code FREAK.
Yeah, fuck TLA Raw, man.
Save 50% off almost anything.
Yeah.
About your tranny versus Dana and Arthur.
I know, you pick the tranny. Everyone picks the tranny. A lot of tranny loving on this program.
You're asking your listeners. TLA Raw had several pages in the catalog of tranny porn, and it was among the best seller.
Really?
In the entire catalog. To straight people. TLA also had a gay catalog, a gay site. Nothing. Didn't sell trannies at all. So, sum up, trannies attractive to straight men.
I always thought, like, trannies was, like, that's, like niche porn. You know what I mean? Like, just, I consider that bizarre, but apparently I think a lot of straight guys, for some reason, dig trannies. Can someone explain that to me, please?
Hey,
I mean, it's one thing if I pose the question, you know, gun to your head, who would you have sex with? A guy or a tranny, and you pick the tranny because it kind of looks like a woman. But if you're searching out tranny porn, what is the reasoning behind that?
Hey, Tone Deaf Sean here. My God, you've got a horrible memory. I emailed you with the Legion of Rockstars, I don't know, last year, the year before?
Did I play them?
I don't know. They all blend together. I used to play them on the Tone Deaf radio show, but you played them on Distorted View, and you liked them then. I don't know.
Well, I still like them. I'm just, you know, I was just curious about how they do their shit. If they're really trying, or if they're trying to goof up.
Hello, Timothy. That's going on, Monkey Overlord calling. Timothy, I just
look.
Really...
You know, I do a show every day, except for the days that I, you know, oversleep or drink or whatever. So, you know, over after 1,000-plus shows, I don't remember. I just don't remember all the stuff I've talked about.
I
don't remember the stuff I talked about yesterday, let alone a year or two ago.
This week marks our first-year podcast anniversary. As a gift, I figured I would share with you my penis chant for when I go.
Oh.
Two messing fleshy rods of steel. Patrick, prepare to receive my semen yield. Abilene, whatever, even lard. Frenetic stroking when my dick is hard. Let's hope for many more years together, lover.
Yes, that's Pan Pan is score checking in. God, I hate that person. I'm going to remember that phone number so I don't ever...
Hey, Timmy Boo. This is one of your loyal sideshow members.
You can call me Timmy Boo now.
Houston. All I got to say is that show Sunday was one of your best shows ever. I don't know what you were doing different, but keep up the good work.
I see what you did there.
Hey, man, this is underage listener Davey, and he's calling to tell you you should look up this fucking awesome group. They're called Captain Dan and the Scurvy Mariners.
Okay, yeah, I'll do that.
You good, Tim? This is Baby Butt Plug. I have a... You know you're going to hell win moment. Well, I don't know why nobody just wanted to call in. I guess my dad might have forgotten about it.
Please get to the point.
Show. Well, it's on Christmas. My entire family was there. Everybody was hanging around, talking. In the room, you know, before opening presents or whatever. And my parents are talking about how their priest or the preacher just died in a car wreck like a few weeks before. And without thinking about it or skipping a heartbeat, I replied, well, I guess he had the wrong co-pilot.
But bump. Yeah, okay. Wow, that was a waste of 50-some seconds.
Jogu, Tim, sideshow member just from Buffalo. Hey, play some more Duke Nukem. I just wanted to say that.
Oh, yes.
Boy, you know, I thought I had found all the talent in the world.
I really do hope they make another Duke Nukem video game so I can whip out when Duke Nukem, the voice of Duke Nukem, did those spots for DV. I have a feeling a lot of people probably don't even know Duke's voice
thought,
and stuff.
You know, I knew what good music
It's been a while since one of those games have come out.
But the Legion of Rockstars, holy shit. The talent is just amazing. I mean, the cover songs is just impeccable. I've never heard such a precise cover song before.
Oh, shit.
You know, it just amazes me. Like, the families of these unsavories, do they even care that they're... unsavory.
Well, like, again, I have to mention that the Legion of Rock, or whatever the fuck the name of this group is, they know they're bad, right? But to me, it's funny if they're actually trying to play their instruments, but it's not as funny if, you know, they're trying to play badly. Like, if they're really giving it their best, then yeah, I think that's funny.
Going on, Tim. This is clever name.
Oh, clever name.
I just wanted to call it to say that I saw another Miracle Whip.
You know
commercial.
What? I saw the fucking shit. Actually, I heard it on the radio.
It's all like, are you bold? Are you whatever the fuck?
I know.
Are you Miracle Whip?
Oh.
I don't know. It was crazy. I didn't know if you had seen it or any funny when it was hit.
Yeah, I haven't seen the television ad, but I have. They're doing radio spots, too.
It's really bad. Really bad. All right.
Don't get me started on that shit again. All right, that is all the time we have on this edition of the show. Why don't you guys email me, show@distortedview.com. Distortedview.com is our official website. Voicemail line for 206-666-4463. That's 206-666-OH-GOD.
You know, if you want to be really sexy,
You can put it right in your little poop hole, too.
Subscribe via iTunes. Spread the distortion. Tell all your friends about the podcast. If you're not Sideshow Freaks, please consider signing up. It is only $5 a month, and it really does help support the program. Got a lot of great stuff coming up for you this weekend. And, of course, more of the Glenn Miller interview. Guys, thank you so much for a great week of programs. We will see you back on Monday. Until then, have a great weekend. Bye, everybody. It's real.